Money FM 89.3. Best of breakfast. Morning Shot.
Good morning. Good to have you for company this Wednesday morning. I'm Lin Lee and you're listening to Money FM 89.3. On Morning Shot today, China's tropical southern island of Hainan is in focus. Government officials and business leaders are gathered at the annual Boao Forum, which kicked off yesterday. It is the first in-person Boao Forum since the COVID-19 outbreak. And some have dubbed the high-level forum Asia's answer to the Davos World Economic Forum. Some 2,000 delegates from over 50 countries and regions are expected to attend the four-day conference, as are the media from across the globe. Notable guests who are joining the forum include Singapore's Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong, Malaysia's Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim, and Managing Director of the International Monetary Fund, Kristalina Georgieva. Discussions are expected to center around timely issues like supply chain disruptions, clean energy, and geopolitical tensions as the forum seeks to deepen international cooperation in the post-COVID era. To discuss more, I'm joined by Dan Wang, Chief Economist at Hang Seng Bank China. Very good morning to you, Dan.
Good morning. Nice to be on the show.
All right. To start off, an economic outlook report released at the high-profile Boao Forum says that deepened financial integration in Asia has made regional economies more resilient against negative impacts from international capital flows. But it also warned about the negative impact of the U.S. Fed Reserve interest rate hikes on Asian economies. In your opinion, what kind of impact has China seen so far?
Well, immediately after the Federal Reserve started to hike interest rates, then we have seen this drop the demand for China's export. And it's across the board, not just for consumer goods, but also intermediate industrial inputs, which accounted for the bulk of China's export. And then the Fed's decision also disrupted the global financial market, especially in banking. For China, the direct impact is small, but still, it has driven up this kind of conservative bias in terms of macro policy when it comes to financial stability. So in the coming month, the sentiment now is that it's very unlikely for China to do anything drastic to stimulate growth. More likely, we probably will have the policy continuity.
Now, this year's theme, An Uncertain World, Solidarity and Cooperation for Development Amid Challenges. Yesterday, the Forum Secretary General said Asia will be a major bright spot for the global economy this year. Amid the global slowdown, what do you think the Chinese have in mind in terms of seeking certainty to promote solidarity and cooperation?
China's reopening this year is no doubt the biggest economic event globally. And China has a higher demand for commodity because it needs to drive up its housing market. It is the most important factor for China's growth this year. And people have high hopes on supply chain in China, although the increasing trend now is to diversify away from China. It's not just lower-ended, but also towards the mid-end of the supply chain. Even for Chinese companies, the outsourcing of at least some of their production is continuing. So that has suggested how important it is broader Asia means for China.
Okay, talking about Asia, do you think most Asian economies are expected to maintain a tight monetary policy coming on the back of the uncertainties? And how much of an impact does China's economy have on the rest of Asia?
The integration between China and the rest of Asia has been increasing, especially on the production side. We have seen that China has been the number one trade partner with ASEAN countries for the past 3-4 years already. And although there are a lot of companies, domestic and foreign, trying to set up their production lines overseas, including Asia, Latin America, or even Africa, they still ultimately depend on China's supply of a lot of the materials and mid-level industrial goods. So if China changed its monetary policy, then that could immediately drive up the production cost for most Asian countries. And if China's economy slowed down significantly, then for major commodity exporters in Asia, their economy will suffer quite tremendously as well.
Okay, the Boa Forum comes just after the China Development Forum in Beijing, in which Premier Li Qiang assured investors of its economic recovery and commitment to international businesses. Can we expect any new action plans from China that would solidify this stance?
Well, so far we have heard a lot of talks. During the two sessions, after the two sessions, Premier Li Qiang has this new image of being a pragmatic politician. Mm-hmm. And clearly, he had some track record of supporting the private industries, the high-tech industries, mm-hmm. especially the introduction of Tesla to Shanghai. Mm-hmm. But overall, we haven't seen a concrete action plan for what he's going to do. The sentiment, of course, is positive about this new leadership. Mm-hmm. In the Boa Forum, it seems that the connection between top leadership, including himself, with multinational companies has been quite an uplifting one. So there is hope that we might see a resumed sentiment of coming to invest in China again, but still it takes time.
How much will green development feature in this forum, given that President Xi had in 2020 at the UN General Assembly made a pledge declaring that China will aim to have CO2 emissions peak before 2030 and also achieve carbon neutrality before 2060?
The carbon neutral plan has been China's top agenda for a number of years now. Mm-hmm. And we had seen in the beginning the campaign style of reaching this goal. Mm-hmm. And that has actually caused the power shortage for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then China, in a way, rolled back its hard push. So now there's this softer push, but still the goal is in mind. And for China's transition, the green transition, it is going to change the industrial landscape here. And for China's exports, also, it is the fastest increasing segment in green products, like solar or wind-related products. So the stress from the policy side and the actual money movement is quite favorable for the sector. So I do think it's one of the brightest spots for China's economy, not just this year, but the decade to come.
What kind of partnerships are we looking at in terms of green development at this forum?
Well, it seems that the stress is still on Asia. Mm-hmm. China is, again, the manufacturing center for mm-hmm. the green industry. And there is a heightened stress on how China can integrate better with the broader Asian countries, especially ASEAN countries. Mm-hmm. And then for the market, the end destination, Europe is the number one priority. Mm-hmm. It has been the market for China's new energy vehicle, and that has been quite encouraging for domestic producers. Mm-hmm. And the tech collaboration in this sector is also more easily available between China, even with the U.S. So we have seen the kind of collaboration between Ford and Qatar in battery technology. Mm-hmm. So I guess the industry is also betting on big on China's future push.
Okay. Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong and other Singapore leaders are expected to meet President Xi and key members of his team. Now, China is a top trading partner of Southeast Asia. Just last year, Singapore's exports to mainland China exceeded Singapore's imports from mainland China. And Singapore's imports from Malaysia and US also exceeded exports to these trading partners. This is according to Singapore's Department of Statistics. Do you think the current heightened superpower rivalry between China and the US will have any bearing in terms of trade relations for Singapore and China?
Trade relations is a hard one to be altered. Investment flow is easier to be changed. But trade depends on the supply chain, on the allocation of companies. And when any company try to make the decision of moving some production away from China, they need to decide where to put that production line. Mm. And they're dealing with several sovereign countries in most of the cases. But if everything is in China, then this is one big market. The transportation costs will be lower, and it's easier to find different types of suppliers. So in my head, this is more of a business decision trying to align different type of costs. Mm-hmm. Transportation cost is a cost, but geopolitical cost is another cost. Mm. If that cost is too high, then there is no guarantee that the production lines will stay in China. if China-U.S. relations get worse over time, we certainly will see a bigger drive from the corporate sector to move away with bigger enthusiasm to other parts of Asia, including India.
Interesting perspective there. We saw a big dip in China's billionaire population in 2022 as a faltering economy, sliding stocks, the depreciating yuan hit the country super rich. To add on Beijing's crackdowns on tech billionaires and tax-shy celebrities, plus its three-year zero-COVID strategy also pushed all of its mega-rich to move their wealth elsewhere. Can you put that in perspective for us? To what extent will that affect investor confidence?
China did lost a lot of billionaires during the COVID era. But also in the past 20 years, China was the one that created most of the billionaire globally. Most of them have been coming from the industry associated with real estate development and healthcare. There was a lot of the billionaire that had a deep connection with the government or state-owned companies. Mm-hmm. Although they might be in the IT industry or in the private sector. So now there is this big correction from COVID. On the bright side, when we hear China talking about its long-term goal of reaching common prosperity, the wealth inequality in China, in a way, has declined. So the wealth of the top 0.01% has been a smaller share. But then the overall income growth and the wealth accumulation has also slowed. So now we can see this effort from policymakers trying to ensure entrepreneurs that China is still a good place of doing business. Mm-hmm. And the tech sector probably will come back soon as well.
Alibaba founder Jack Ma is now back in China after months abroad. Is that a sign that Beijing might be warming up to tech again?
Well, I have mixed feelings about this, probably, but still, we can't read too much into it. Mm-hmm. There is a change in Alibaba's structure, and that's aligned with the strategic agenda of China. It is partly associated with antitrust and partly about their new idea to, in terms of data protection, data security, or even where they want the capital to flow in the future. Certainly, the soft tech is no longer a priority. They want more money to flow into semiconductor or the high-tech industry.
All right, Dan, so much to talk about, but we will have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Dan Wang, Chief Economist at Hang Seng Bank China. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.